Hello, my name's Philip Mitchell, and you're listening to my podcast, where I will, on the occasion, review a movie or two, whether it's a new release or a classic. Today's review, or tonight, depending on when you are hearing this, is X-Men First Class, with the Origins title dropped out of the picture for this picture, with the first spin-off that was titled X-Men Origins Wolverine. So what happened to the title of Origins? Maybe it's just one too many words for the PR here at Fox. But, you know, I think it's a good decision. I don't think they should have used the Origins brand in the first place if they're going to drop off the title, you know, later on down the track. I mean, for example, had the first spin-off just been titled X-Men Wolverine, to me that would have sounded a lot better. And now they're making a sequel called The Wolverine. So how's that for added confusion? Okay, now back to First Class, which according to Wikipedia is described as a loose prequel to the X-Men franchise, which is essentially a reboot in my mind. I will make note that I haven't watched the previous four X-Men films from start to finish. I have watched bits and pieces of the films, whether they were on TV or whether they were playing the movie while I was at the store. But I do know who the characters are and who was bad and who was good and so on. So I sort of had a general gist of who the characters are, which didn't bother me. And also being a prequel and knowing that this is essentially the first film in chronological order, I'd rather not have seen the other films in fear of having, I guess, the prequel dilemma, knowing which characters can't die because they exist in the other films, etc. The film intertwines with the world's history from Auschwitz in 1944 to the Kennedy era of the 60s, and it does put the characters of the X-Men into that world, which to me just makes it all a more interesting picture. In this movie, you see, of course, Xavier and Eric, who, you know, they end up being Professor X and Magneto. And you see them working together in this film. They actually start off being really close friends and seem to have, yeah, just that really close friendship between each other. And it's just really interesting to see how from that close friendship that they both go in different directions, which I guess to compare it would probably be with Obi-Wan and Anakin from the Star Wars saga, how they both start off being really good friends, and then all of a sudden, you know, Anakin goes to the dark side of Force, and just things dramatically change in the storytelling. And the film is over, it's over 2 hours long, but it's not long enough to be boring. It kept me interested, and what was great about the film was that it wasn't in 3D, which is a bit of a surprise in my mind, but good. I'm just glad that I wasn't in 3D, because I'm not a huge fan of it at the moment. It can work, it doesn't work, it just sort of varies. The soundtrack, I liked it overall. I heard it was one of the main criticisms of the film, which is, you know, fair enough, because the music didn't have that time period feel to the film. But the edgy guitarness was pretty cool and just kept the excitement going for the film. There is a couple of cheesy moments. There is one particular scene that you might think that they're going to kiss in a similar way that was done in a previous Marvel film. That had me worried for a second, but luckily it didn't happen. And also check out for those cameos. There is a couple in the film that you will notice as well. So, here's another funny piece of trivia, is that the villain's name, played by Kevin Bacon, is Sebastian Shaw, and that is the same name of the actor, Sebastian Shaw, who played the unmasked Darth Vader / Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. Overall, give this film 3.5 stars. That's all. And thank you, and stay tuned for more reviews in the near future. Thanks, and goodbye.